KRTU, San Antonio.
To Eli's to get my pistol out of pawn. But when I got back home, my baby, she had gone. Well, I done murdered my baby. Woo! She don't stop cheating and lying. Woman put a hurt on her. Be in the penitentiary than to be with right out of my mind. Going home last night, just about 4 o'clock. Little moonshine joint in the rear. Well, just begin to rock. I kinda eased inside to get myself a better route. I could see my baby doing the monkey too. Well, I'm gonna murder my baby. Woo! She don't stop cheating and lying. Put a hurt on me this morning. Well, I'd rather be in the penitentiary than to be worried right out of my mind.
Thank you.
try to treat her nice and kind. But I want to spend up all my money drinking whiskey, gin, and wine. Well, I'm gonna murder my baby. Whoa! If she don't stop cheating and lying, oh, I'm gonna hurt on this one. Well, I'd rather be in the penitentiary than to be worried right out of my mind. Said, if it's good to you, it's going to be good for you.
That's music from Mike Morgan and The Crawl, and Mike Morgan on the guitar out of Dallas, and he'll be heading to San Antonio this weekend on Sunday, April 14th at Sam's Burger Joint for a show with the San Antonio Blues Society. We're going to hear some words from Mike Morgan, too, just talking about coming up in the music and what he's up to lately. But first, I want to introduce Scott Mayo, who's with me with the San Antonio Blues Society. Welcome back to the studio, Scott.
Well, thank you so much, Corey, and it's always great to be here, and it's great to see you, and thank you so much again.
Yeah.
We're pretty darn excited about this upcoming show. And before I talk about that, I do want to mention to you...
it's all good. We're just fixing the microphone. I had to fix the screw there on the top of the microphones.
Yeah, it was loose in my head, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, I didn't want it to fall down while you were talking.
Oh, my gosh. At any rate... 33 years of active participation in the community. That's the San Antonio Blues Society, longest active and still active blues society in the great Republic of Texas.
Wow, you were reading my mind, I think, because I was getting ready to ask you, when did the San Antonio Blues Society first start, for those who are unaware? So there it is, 33 years.
It's unbelievable, really, when you stop and think about it, and the number of unbelievable musicians that we've brought to town. And the support of the community, it's really quite gratifying. I do want to mention briefly our two primary functions in the community. Number one is the Blues in the Schools program, where we send a team of directors to the school, and we do a little performance, a lot of times engaging with the students. We'll get them up on stage on whatever instruments they may have, and that ties in with our second mission in the community, and that is the Sam Baird Scholarship. We do award the scholarships every year at our Fiesta show. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we're going to be doing on Sunday is awarding the scholarships, and we had a great group of graduating seniors apply, and it's always very interesting because we don't put any rules on which instruments you have to play or what your chosen profession is going to be.
Oh, right on. So it could be blues trumpet.
Yeah, sure. Right. Could be, and it's not unusual to get one of those.
Right. All right. Yeah. Or keyboards or even...
Yeah, or even production. Yeah. Or, you know, we get a lot of people that are going to go into teaching. We've had a lot of various horn players. We've had a lot of females as well as males, and you don't have to be a long-haired guitar shredder to get a scholarship.
Yeah.
And so I always like to mention this, too. Those applications for the scholarship are typically available online. Now, we just turned off the applications because we're revamping that part of it. But I encourage all soon-to-graduate seniors for next year engage in the program. There's no other requirements. You don't have to be a member or anything like that.
Right on. That's a beautiful thing. You know, I think, education is a big part of what we do here at KRTU.
Absolutely.
And here at the radio station as well, with students learning about radio, listening to this music, and and also for the musicians that we support locally. And so it's a very cool thing to be able to support a show here that supports the younger artists, up and coming artists, and people Absolutely. Who are learning about the music. And you know, we were just talking off air too about learning how to play the guitar and how those things have changed so much now in terms of just being able to log on to a video and YouTube and be in and have a clinic right there in front of you.
Absolutely.
And how back in the day we had to actually, you know, move the needle on the record to figure out the parts.
We used to tune the guitars by listening to the radio. I mean, it had to sound like a bunch of hound dogs is what it
is. Yeah, you know, actually, I used to listen to Jimi Hendrix to tune my guitar. So I'd like, as soon as I hear that E, then that's what
it's
supposed to sound like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Well, I'll tell you, we got a good show coming up this Sunday.
Yeah.
Doors are 1 o'clock, show's 2 o'clock. It's going to open with Sonny Wolf. He's going to be followed by our friend Ruben V. And then Ruben's going to be followed by Mike Morgan. It's going to be a heck of a guitar show.
Wow. So it's Mike Morgan in the Crawl, Ruben V, also Sonny Wolf.
Right.
Actually, I think I just said that backwards. So yes. First it's Sonny Wolf, then Ruben V, and then Mike Morgan.
There you go.
Either way, all three of the groups, they all have full bands, too, with them, right?
Yeah, I think what you're going to see in this case, Sonny's going to be running a three-piece.
Okay.
And I think Mike Morgan's running a three-piece also.
He is, and actually he tells us in this interview we're getting ready to listen to who he's bringing to town with
him. I'm not sure which way Ruben's going to go. Ruben's such an interesting player. He can show up with a number of different musicians. We try not to dictate to our bands what to play or how to play it.
Right.
The beautiful thing I want to add, and I want to thank both Sonny and Ruben, they're both members of the San Antonio Blues Society, and they are doing their part to keep music alive, especially the blues.
Right on. And you can become a member as well. I mean, that's
absolutely
anyone listening who's into this music and who wants to support it, and also you're supporting the history and the future of it when you do that.
You know, Corey, you're absolutely right. And the thing that I want to mention, the other thing, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but any money you spend with the Blues Society, whether it's a T-shirt, a performance poster, or a membership, or buying a ticket to the show, all that money is going to those two projects we just talked about, either the Blues in the Schools or the Sam Baird Scholarship, or both. We're an all-volunteer organization. And it's something, it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
As music is anyway.
That's right. I know you're a musician, too. You're just talking about playing something like, 88 to 100 shows a year.
Prior to COVID, it was unbelievable how busy we were. We're still trying to kind of regain that momentum.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of live music and live blues, we're going to play back this interview, although not a live interview. I called Mike Morgan last week and talked to him by phone. He was cooking up some barbecue.
Sounds like Mike.
In his front yard on a Dallas afternoon. And
Corey, there's one more thing I do want to say, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to go on and on. The interesting thing about Mike Morgan is that he is simply part of a larger group of dedicated blues musicians that came out of the Dallas area. It included Anson Funderburg. It included Sean Pittman. It included the Moeller Brothers. It goes on and on and on. And what's very interesting, all these guys that are on this show talk about how Stevie Ray Vaughan influenced them so much to really further embrace the blues. So it's a pretty neat deal that Texas has going. And Dallas is very important in the blues scene. So these guys have something to say.
Right on. This is Mike Morgan here on KRTU.
You are tuned to 91.7 FM, KRTU, and this is the morning session. I'm Corey Cook, and it's my pleasure to be able to speak to Mike Morgan today here by phone. Mike, I guess you're in Dallas right now?
Downtown Dallas, or just east of downtown in what they call Old East Dallas.
You were born in Dallas, right?
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I actually moved from Dallas to a little town called Hillsboro right there on I-35.
Yeah.
When I was about 4 or 5, probably about 5 years old. And I grew up down there and went to school there. And then 86 was about the time I kind of started playing and moved up to Dallas. Kind of tried to start making a career out of it in about 85 and moved up here in 86.
Well, I wanted to talk about the show that's coming up here in San Antonio and also just talk about some of the work that you've been up to recently. So the show will be April 14th. That's this Sunday. Sam's Burger Joint. The doors at 1, show at 2. And you're bringing your band, Mike Morgan and the Crawl. Also on the bill will be Ruben V and Sonny Wolf. And this is through the San Antonio Blues Society, so it's a very cool thing that they're doing that also awards the Sam Baird Scholarships. It's a part of the Fiesta Blues Heritage Series. So welcome back to San Antonio. How long has it been since you played in San Antonio?
You know, Corey, I can't even remember. It's been that long. It had to have been probably around 2000. 2000 or 2001 was the last time I was there, and I don't even remember the name of the place that we played at, but it's been a long time. I think it was probably 2000.
We're a radio station, so we take great pride in the recordings that are available to us. We are a jazz station, but we play a lot of blues, too. You know, we're firm believers that, you know, those records and those recordings are where a lot of the influence on generations of players comes from. So who are some of the artists that you grew up listening to that you can say, you know, influenced your sound?
Well, once I really got into playing, it was kind of, I kind of came in the back door. I just grew up listening to the radio. Always liked blues, but I pretty much was just listening to top 40 rock. You know, it was on the radio, which was some pretty good stuff in the 70s. And I think it was around 83. It was 80-something when Stevie Ray's first record came out, Texas Flood, and a buddy of mine played it for me, and that's what really sparked the interest for me to dig my guitars out from underneath the bed and say, hey, man, I might want to try to figure out how to play those things.
Right on. Yeah, I remember those records, too, coming out, Couldn't Stand the Weather and Texas Flood.
Yeah. And then when I said I kind of came in the back door, it was like I was listening to Stevie and the Thunderbirds and Anson and the Rockets. And just as fate would have it, about the time I got this little band going, which was really just supposed to be a something for fun, I got a little bit more serious about it. About the time I started getting serious about it, I was changing band members. And Daryl Newlish, the singer that was with Anson and the Rockets on the first two Anson records, they went their separate ways. And a guy that had started listening to us up here in Dallas was friends with Daryl, and Daryl was looking for a band to play in, and he's the one that turned me on to all the old blues that, you know, at the time he kind of started playing with me. I didn't even know about Magic Sam and Sonny Boy and Little Walter and Little Milton and, you know, Albert King, all the guys. You know, I just had never been subjected to it. So
right.
he gave me stacks and stacks of records. And of course, back then, you know, I would take those records and put them on transfer it to a cassette. And I just went to town and started, you know, digging into the old stuff and, you know, T-Bone Walker. So all my influences that really basically made my style, or whatever you want to call it, you know, my influences were those records that Daryl gave me.
Well, you have over a dozen albums as a leader with your band, The Crawl, and you know, the band that's named after the Lonnie Brooks tune. I know that Lonnie was born in Louisiana. And, you know, a lot of the sound in the blues, I think, merges sort of geographically. But do you think there's a distinct Texas sound in the blues that differs from other parts of the country, like Mississippi or Louisiana or even Tennessee?
It seems like Texas, at least to me, the Texas sound that I think of is kind of a gumbo, a combination of like Louisiana blues, which is a very distinct thing from Slim Harpo and Lazy Lester and Lightning Slim and all those guys. That was a definite sound. And then the early 50s, you know, when Chicago was on fire, you know, it was Muddy Waters and Magic Sam and Howlin' Wolf, Sonny Boy, Little Walter, all those guys, that was a definite sound. The West Coast kind of had more of a swing thing going, you know, is at least for now, you know, the modern times, you know, people kind of relate the West Coast to more like jump and swing. To me, the Texas thing is kind of a conglomeration of all of those.
Yeah.
Which is what the T-Birds were. And, you know, the T-Birds kind of defined you know, a modern Texas sound, you know, and then you got, you know, guys that were, you know, before them, like T-Bone Walker, he was kind of jazzy. Albert Collins was a stinging guitar player, and Freddie King. So those guys are you know, part of the Texas sound, you know. But I guess I'm talking more about the more modern stuff as far as like the T-Birds and Anson and, you know, me and guys like that.
Yeah.
We kind of picked and choose sounds from all those different regions. We picked sounds up from Texas too, you know, like guys like what I just said, Albert Collins and Freddie King were, you know, obviously big influences on all of us, and T-Bone obviously, and, you know, even more obscure guys like Frankie Lee Sims and Lightnin' Hopkins.
Your band and, you know, your career really took off in the early 90s after many recordings and tours over the years, and then you decided to record a new album that was released in 2022 called The Lights Went Out in Dallas. Tell me about that decision to reemerge and make a new record.
Well, I never really quit playing. When I was playing full-time, I put out a record every year, like clockwork. Once a year, there was a new record. And then somewhere around 2003, I went to work doing something else and took a job. I was just kind of burnout from being on the road and stuff. And that's the only way to make a living is being out, you know, touring and doing all that stuff. So
yeah,
I never quit playing, but I was playing part time and I was working full time. Always been into motorcycles and motocross and dirt bikes and stuff like that. And I ended up getting back into that, which led me to a job or a second career really in motorcycle sales and finance. I did that for about 15 years and I never quit playing, but it was definitely part-time. And then 2018, the place I'd been at for a long time from the 2008 financial crisis, that motorcycle industry really never came back, and the guy I was working for just decided to pull the plug and sell his business. So I was pretty burnt out on that. So, you know, I'm going to just start playing again. And before, you know, once we got that shop shut down and a little time passed, it, you know, COVID came along. That kind of put the kibosh on playing full-time for a little while. And in the meanwhile, another cycle shop gave me a call. The business was booming because of COVID. And I went and was a finance director at a big Honda motorcycle dealership here in Dallas for about 2.5 years, and it slowed down. I got laid off in September. I'm just back to playing again. Right before I went to work at this last place I worked at, I decided I wanted to do another record, and I got a record deal out of that through MC Records after I'd already kind of made the record. And I sent him the recordings, and he said he liked it and wanted to put it out. So that record came out, but I was still working full-time. I told him that I wouldn't be able to be out touring behind it. I could play some, but I couldn't just, you know, really get out and promote it. And he said that was fine. So he's been real. Mark over at MC Records has been real good to work with. That one was called Stronger Every Day. So that was quite a... That was the longest stretch I'd ever gone without putting out a record.
Well, I know we're listening to Funkification and going down to Eli's, and also the Fracas by the Pecos. I like that tune. Tell me a little bit of the backstory of that.
Fracas by the Pecos ended up just being the little guitar line, the little rhythm guitar line. I was sitting around playing one day and I said, man, I kind of like that, but it doesn't sound like blues. It almost sounds more like a heavy metal ballad. I said, I will never be able to use this, but I'm really into old Westerns and new Westerns. I love watching Westerns movies and the old, you know, classic Gunsmoke and all that stuff. And I sit around and watch that a lot. So I just started thinking about writing a song about I kind of tried to spin it as like a spaghetti Western type thing. So I just made up this story about me and however many, there's four or five guys plus me. Those were all guys I grew up with down in Hillsboro, like my best friends. And we just, turned us into a outlaw gang, and it actually turned out pretty cool.
Well, we're looking forward to the band coming. Who all is in your band coming to Sam's on Sunday, April 14th?
I've got a great rhythm section out of Austin they've played with me before. Jason Moeller on drums. He was with the T-Birds for a few years.
And yeah.
Him and his brother Johnny. Jason Crisp on bass. He used to live here in the early 90s when everybody was playing here in the early 90s, but he moved to Austin years and years ago. And they did a gig with me down in Hillsboro for an outdoor festival last year sometime. But we've played with each other on and off over the years, so it'll be great. I'm actually looking forward to doing that with those guys.
Well, we're looking forward to your band and you come into town and the day and the whole day of the blues here in San Antonio. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to playing at Sam's too. That's going to be fun. Yeah, I hope people come out, and looking forward to being in San Antonio.
It was late one night in a saloon, somewhere down by the Pecos. Fate would have it, they all showed up. The Hill County gang, always willing for a fracas. Cold, dark eyes all stared across the room. Some of them were trembling with fear, worried about what might transpire, knowing that trouble might be near. The law was hot on their trail. The boys knew there was no hope. All wanted dead or alive. A pine box by the end of a rope. Posse caught up with the gang right there at the Jersey Lily. The first ones they spotted were Tall Roy, One-Eyed Jack, and Old Crazy Billy. The rest of the bunch, Big James, Bojangles, and Cabeza Grande, laid in wait because they had a hunch. Before the lawman could clear leather, the bullet started flying. And three lawmen laid on the floor, shot full of lead, laying there dying. One-Eyed Jack turned around with all the smoke he could barely see. He took down two more with his Winchester 73. Two lawmen were left to fight in this revolt. Crazy Billy got one with both barrels. Tall Roy got the last one. The last one with his Colt. The gang gang would go their separate ways. Because staying would be risky. So they all laid down their iron and had one last whiskey. The legend lives on about this gang and this fracas. It's simply known as the Fracas by the Pecos.
That's the Fracas. That's the Fracas by the Pecos. That's from the Lights Went Out in Dallas, Mike Morgan and the Crawl. That was a 2022 record. He talked a little bit about that in the interview, too, if you just heard that before the tune. And you are tuned to KRTU. It's 11:30 a.m. KRTU FM and hanging out with Scott Mayo. We're listening to that recorded interview that we did with Mike Morgan in the Crawl, or with Mike Morgan, about his band that he's bringing this Sunday to Sam's Burka Joint.
It's going
to
be great. Let's put it this way. If you love the blues and if you love guitars, you absolutely will love this show.
Yes.
I mean, Sonny Wolf is no joke. What I love about Sonny is he's stayed close to the earth. In other words, when he's not playing a gig, you'll find him hanging out in Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's the real thing. And then, of course, Reuben. When I moved here 20 years ago, Reuben was already happening. Everybody would talk about Reuben and his guitar work. And then, starting almost 20 years ago at the same time, two of my friends, Charlie Cruz and Tony Cuellar, turned me on to Mike Morgan, also Daryl Newlich at the same time. And so I've known about Mike for a long time, and really excited to get him down here to play for us. Again, if you love guitars and you love blues, you will love this show.
Yeah, and you can be a part of the community here in San Antonio, the blues community.
I just remembered this. I was looking prior to coming over, and there is still one booth available at Sam's.
Okay.
All you got to do is go up to samsburgerjoint.com. You can purchase your ticket and or the booth right there. There's one booth left.
So the booth just to hang out, you mean? Like to be?
Yeah, I mean, you know how the club has those booths.
Seat.
Those
yeah.
are private reserved
right.
Seats. It makes it a lot of fun.
Okay, yeah.
So,
it makes it more, it's like if you have a group and you want to be more comfortable and
you know.
Plus, there's not a bad seat in the house.
Well,
either,
that's the truth now, especially now. They've got it all the way they have it arranged and everything sounds good. They've spent a fortune on lights and PA over there. It's a great venue.
Yeah.
We appreciate their year in and year out support for everything that we, for everything that we do. That Sam's Burger Joint, that show, doors at 1 o'clock, shows at 2 o'clock. We're going to be awarding some scholarships. Oh, man, we've got a silent auction on a guitar that's been signed by over 50 name artists. So that's a silent auction. That also goes to fund the scholarship. That's available at that show, as well as other knickknacks, San Antonio Blues Society, koozies, bandanas, T-shirts. We made a really nice T-shirt this year for the show. All that kind of stuff's going to be available. And I have to stress again, all those funds go to the scholarship and to blues in the schools.
Yeah, you mentioned that if someone purchases something from the Blues Society, whether it is a T-shirt or something else, that it does go.
It's all volunteer. And we appreciate everybody that supports the blues.
Yeah, and it's a 33-year organization, too.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
There is another organization in Texas that does a pretty darn good job, and that's the Houston Blues Society. But guess what? They're 2 years behind us, and they'll never catch us.
All right. Well, Scott, it's always great just to have you here and hanging out and your energy and your interest in the music, too, and sharing it with our listeners. So thanks for stopping by again, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, I look forward to it, and I'm surprised at how quickly time goes by. Again, we'll see everybody on Sunday. Bring your dancing shoes, because we're going to be rocking the house over there.
All right, from Mike Morgan in the Crawl, one more from the Lights Went Out in Dallas. This is Funkification.